It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Molly Stentz, in for Kate Archer Kent. Do you remember a time when you didn't need home air conditioning in Wisconsin? I certainly used to think so. But I have to say, there's been some times this summer where I've regretted that decision. Yet health authorities say our energy use is one of the leading drivers of global emissions, which is warming our planet and changing our climate. And heating and cooling our homes is one of the biggest culprits. Federal data shows that more than half the energy we use in our homes is for heat and air conditioning. But what if I told you you could make changes to your home that would not only cut your energy use, but save you money? This hour, we're talking about how to make your home more energy efficient and comfortable and cut your power bills. I've got one word for you: insulation. We're speaking with Kevin Wise, president of Illinois Insulators. The company offers insulation services for both homes and businesses throughout the Chicagoland area. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning. How are we doing today?
Very well, thank you. So, insulation, first off, tell us, when do you know that it's time to upgrade the insulation in your house?
Well, I basically look at today's codes, and today's codes have really made our homes more efficient by adding additional insulation. Years ago, they didn't mandate insulation until 1978. So as of 1978, code was until 2005, only basically 6 to 8 inches of insulation in your attic. Now code is R49 and R60 in your attic. That is 15.5 inches to almost 20 inches of insulation. It's like basically wearing a jacket. If you are out in the fall, you know, a thin jacket's fine. But if you're wearing the same thin jacket in the winter, you're going to be very cold. That's basically what insulation is. It basically makes your home warmer, just like a thicker jacket. So if your home is especially warm in the summer and it's not keeping cool, or cold in the winter, not keeping warm, you need more insulation.
And so how do you know where to start? I mean, there's so many different kinds, and you can put it in your walls, you can put it in your attic. Where do you start?
Well, each home is a little different. It all depends on the issue you're having. If it's from ice damming or frost on your walls, or your walls are sweating. So each home is a little different. We'd have to take a look at your home and find out what your home needs. Should it need bad insulation? Should you need spray foam insulation or regular blown-in insulation?
And so the first step for a homeowner who is having an issue in their house would be would you advise getting a home energy audit?
We do home energy audits all the time. I think home energy audits are very important to find out the exact issue your home may be having. Is it windows? Is it doors? Or is it an insulation issue? And especially if you have a company coming over to give you a proposal or an energy audit, to make sure they have an infrared camera, because they can definitively tell you what your issue is.
I'm not going to lie, I'm serious, that was my favorite part of the home inspection process, getting to see all of the color patterns all throughout my house and seeing just where the air exchange was happening and that the range in temperatures. I mean, the technology was pretty cool. Is that pretty standard now?
A good quality insulation company or an energy audit company will have an infrared camera. They're quite expensive, but you cannot really tell someone what's wrong with their house or where the problem is without having one. It's just like going to the doctor and saying your leg hurts. Well, do you have a fracture? Do you have a broken leg? Or do you have something sprained? Basically, the infrared camera looks inside the wall and tells you what the problem is. Is it something minor or is it something big?
Yeah. And so once you get to a house and you do the evaluation with the camera and you kind of assess the situation, what are the types of things that you're looking for when you're doing that assessment of the house?
Try to look at what needs to get done and the way to do the work without doing the most amount of damage. So if they have cold air coming in on their walls and their outlets, Can we just drill a couple holes in the walls and inject insulation in the walls? Is it something that we can pull trim off the wall and do caulk and foam? So it depends on what the issue is and the way to fix it without doing the little amount of damage or no damage.
And when's the best time? So, I mean, when you buy a house and you've got the house empty is always a good time. But for folks that are in their homes, what do you recommend as far as a good time? I mean, do you really have to do it in summer and fall before it gets too cold?
We work year round. The best time is when you don't need it. So many times we get a call, oh, last year my pipes froze. And I know I should have got it done, but I didn't. Well, this year your pipes froze again, and now they burst, and your place is flooded. So the best time to get it done is when you don't need it.
Yeah. But then
so year round, we work.
Yeah. And so you mentioned that there's different ways of installing the insulation, and one way is to go in from the outside. Now, that sounds like that could be a pretty involved and maybe costly process if you're talking about taking off siding or shingles. I mean, how involved is that process?
Well, if you have vinyl siding, it's quite easy. We can take off a couple rows of siding, drill holes in the walls and fill it up that way. If you have a brick house or you have cedar siding and we can't take it off, we'll do it from the inside and drill into the drywall or the plaster walls. It's better to do it from the outside. So this way we do all the work, we put the siding back on, we leave, and you have a much warmer home, and you never knew that we were ever there. Unfortunately, if we can't do it from the outside because of the kind of the siding you have or the structure of your home, we'll do it from the inside, but then you're going to, you know, have to have more repair done. We'll drill a hole in the wall, fill the holes with insulation, the walls, and then we'll put a plug in there and one coat of drywall compound. And you'd have to hire a painter, unless you're handy, to do two more coats of drywall compound and primer and paint.
Yeah. And so is that a thing that can be done kind of working around while you're living in the house, or do you really kind of have to get out of your way for this work to be done?
It could be easily done while you're living there. I have a lot of clients that just say, hey, my bedrooms are the coldest, just do the bedrooms. And we can generally be in and out of the house within a day, depends on the size of the house, easily get done.
Cool. And would you say that's pretty typical for a lot of jobs, that they can be done in a day or two, or?
Depends on the size of the home. An average, say, 1,000 square foot to a 1,500 square foot house, we can generally complete everything in one day. We'd rather be there in one day with multiple people and trucks to get it done. So this way the stress is not there over and over. We can put plastic down on everything if we're inside. We can cover up everything, do the work, take up the plastic, make sure the place is nice and clean before we leave. We'd rather do things in one day than multiple days. But unfortunately, sometimes we have to do multiple days.
Yeah. We're talking with Kevin Wise this morning. He's our guide to installing insulation, knowing how to seal air gaps. He heads an Illinois insulation company. I'm Molly Stentz, and this is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Molly Stentz. We're talking all about insulation this hour. When you need it, how to install it, what kind to get, all the ins and outs. Have you thought about upgrading your home insulation yet this summer? Do you have any tips to share? We're at 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us at ideas@wpr.org. Walking us through it all is Kevin Wise. He's the president of Illinois Insulators, based in Chicago. And I want to go to the phones because we have a question for you, Kevin, and it comes from Russ in Stoughton. Good morning, Russ.
Good morning. I live in an old farmhouse built in, I think, 1915 or 1918. And a few years ago, I changed the location of a potbelly stove that vented to the outside wall. And when I got the stovepipe out, I noticed there was no insulation in the outer wall on the north side. And I could tell you about the value of insulation this past February when we were in that cold stretch for a week. I had the thermostat set at 78, and the warmest I got the house on any one of those days was 64 degrees. And I can tell you what, it was chilly. I was wearing three layers inside the house.
Oof.
So insulation is a major, major thing for keeping yourself warm.
Well, thanks, Russ. Well, Kevin, what would you recommend for something, someone like Russ, to start when you first discover that situation?
You need insulation, so have a qualified contractor come on up and do an evaluation and give you a price on insulation. It's funny that you had said that. A lady in her mid-80s had a house, a bungalow in Chicago, actually over in Cicero, and she'd been there. She owned the house for 60 years, and when it was sub-zero temperature, the furnace didn't shut off for 3 days straight. And the most she could get it up to, I believe, was 64, 65, and she had electric heaters running. So, yeah, insulation is very, very important. Since then, we've insulated her attic and her outside walls, and she's referred us to multiple different neighbors. But insulation is a huge deal to keeping your home comfortable.
Well, thanks for that call, Russ. I want to go next to Bob from Mount Horeb. Good morning, Bob. I understand you're an electrician.
Yes. Good morning. I just like to remind people of something from an electrical standpoint, and the insulator's probably aware of this, but a lot of people are not, that you want to do any wiring that you'd have to do in your attic, any rewiring you're planning on doing, you'd want to do that before you put insulation. And a lot of times people will call and, well, say, we just insulated, now we want to add some wiring. That's not the time to do it. The time to do it is before, because your insulation just gets flattened down by cable TV guys or electricians that go in there after the insulation is put in. And another thing you don't want to do is put insulation on knob and tube wiring in an old house. So that would be the wiring that's mounted on an insulator.
Yes.
You're not to put insulation around that wiring. That would include in the walls also. And that's all I want to say to tell people that.
I agree with you 100%. Sorry to interrupt you there. I agree with you 100%. That's why we always ask if the home is real old, if the wiring has been updated. And if the wiring has been updated, has all the wiring been updated? That's 100% true. And we do ask our clients when we go to their homes if they're planning on doing any remodeling. If I notice that the kitchen or the bathrooms are old, are you looking to update this stuff in the future? Because if you're dropping ceilings or someone's going to be working in the attic, they're not going to be very happy working in 16 to 20 inches of insulation compared to if it was originally 3 or 4 inches.
Yeah, such a good point. And I imagine it can save you some money too, to really tackle the projects in the right order, so you're not undoing or work that's been done or making things more timely and therefore more costly for everybody. I want to go next. We have a call from Paul in Appleton. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. It's great you mentioned infrared camera and such, but we have not used the word air seal. I take older homes and make them zero energy, so it's so important. The first thing in an energy audit, you have to have a blower door test, and that, with the comparison with the infrared camera, tells you exactly where your air leakage is. You could have 5 feet of insulation in the attic, but if air's passing through it, it's just a big filter and not really insulating. So air sealing is number one, then you insulate afterwards. So that's my big point. And how many people call me with issues after they already blew in 20 inches of cellulose in the attic, and then we have to remove it all to air seal it. So, of course, that's really costly.
Oof. Thanks for that, Paul.
Correct. That is very true what Paul said. Air sealing is very important. If you insulate without air sealing, you have a good chance to have a very moldy attic. If you had a house before that had a lot of ice damming and you had a nice warm attic, and then you added 15 to 20 inches of insulation in your attic, now you have a cold attic, but you still have all that humidity leaking into the attic because you did not air seal your ductwork, your plumbing chases. If you don't air seal that stuff, you're going to have a moldy attic. So very important. We do that. We do the full blower door test, the full energy on it. Air sealing is one of the most important things on getting everything taken care of. Air sealing is insulating all of your electric boxes in your attic, around your bath fans, around your ductwork, any plumbing chases. That's very important because hot air rises, cold air falls, and you don't want all your hot air rising into the attic.
And so is that something that we can do ourselves as homeowners?
Possibly. It depends on how handy you are. If you want to go into the attic and crawl around, and my guys are professional, have been with me up to 15, 17 years, crawl around and insulate all the electric boxes, spray foam over those, air seal all the joints in the attic. If you're a handy kind of a person, yes, go for it. If you're not handy, you might cause yourself more problems. I've had some clients hire us to remove all the insulation. They'll do the work, and multiple times they've seen it not done quite right, and then we've had to do additional work and that stuff. But, you know, if you're handy, go ahead and do it. That's great. And a homeowner can do this. They can pull the outlet covers off. They can install the foam inserts. They can seal around the outlets as long as they don't put their fingers in the outlets. There's a lot of things a homeowner can do to make things more efficient.
Sure. Any other tips or tricks that people should look out for with the air sealing?
Well, look where the air is coming in at. So on a windy day, walk around your house and put your fan in front of the outlets. Do you feel cold air coming in there? Is it coming in the windows? Is it coming in around the trim? There's multiple. All homes are a little different. Some homes are leaking air out of their outlets because there's no insulation in the outside walls or nothing was sealed. Some windows, some houses have old windows and you have a lot of air coming in the windows. Each home is a little different. That's why it's important to have that energy audit or assessment from a qualified insulation contractor to come in and look.
I feel you on the windows. I feel like so many older homes that I've lived in through the years had those single pane, beautiful, beautiful old windows. But oof, were they leaky? And having all the insulation in the walls only goes so far when you have a big, big glass window that's just seeping the cold air right through.
Very true. Windows are the worst insulator in an entire house.
Yeah. Yeah. Replacing those with those double panes made a world of difference. Well, we are speaking with Kevin Wise this morning. He is the president of Illinois Insulators. They are a residential and business contractor in the Chicagoland area, knowledgeable in all things air sealing, energy audits, insulation. Taking your calls this morning. Up next is news. I'm Molly Stentz, and this is the morning show on the Ideas Network. And Kevin, one more quick question for you before we hit the news. On that note of windows, what would you recommend as far as an order of operations? Like if you're maybe fixing up an older home and you know you got to do a bunch of work, you know you have to do insulation, you got to do the windows, which would you tackle first?
Well, it all depends on the house and what year the house is built. It was built from the early 1900s. I would probably do the insulation first and then go for the windows because you have more wall space and attic space than you have window space. So I would probably do the attic and walls to insulate first. Or if you're taking in baby steps, I would do the attic first. So this way we know the hot air rises and it's going to keep it cooler in the summer for air conditioning. Then the next step, I would probably go with doing the walls, and then the next step, I would do the windows. But if you do your windows, make sure you pull the trim off. I've had so many clients go, I've replaced my windows, and it feels so cold around there. Well, they didn't pull the trim off, and there's no insulation behind the trim, and you've got these large gaps.
Gotcha. Good points there. We're speaking with Kevin Wise, our insulation expert, leads an insulation company in the Chicagoland area. And up next is news. You are listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Molly Stentz. We are talking about all the ways you can make your home more energy efficient through the use of insulation. Do you know your R value? Are you considering an upgrade soon? Give us a call. We're at 1-800-642-1234 or ideas@wpr.org. Our guest this hour is Kevin Wise. He's the president of an Illinois insulation company. And Kevin, we have got more calls for you. I want to go next to Milwaukee, where Marcus is joining us this morning. Good morning, Marcus.
Good morning. I just want to say, Kevin, great information so far. About the single-pane windows, a quick one for homeowners, because I do remodeling and construction, is even if you just go outside and hit it with a tube of caulk, clear silicone around those panes, that can even tighten it up just doing some of the glazing around the windows. And also putting a fan mounted up high to the wall can help circulate some of the hot air down in rooms to also help on the energy bills. My question for you, sir, actually goes to dealing with condos. And I've had calls from customers where they have like an up and down type condo situation. Half the basement underneath their condo belongs to their upstairs neighbor. Half belongs to them. Not finished, and they've replaced or had me replace windows, doors, such where I pulled the trim and done all that. But how could they still get more energy efficient? Because one of them said to me at the end of this past winter that their upstairs neighbor said that they didn't turn on their heat until, you know, like the very like coldest days of winter. So it's like, you know, they're clearly heating their upstairs neighbor at their expense. Mm.
Good question, Marcus. Kevin.
That all depends. Most of the time I have people with issue with sound. I have had clients have us insulate between floors. If you have a neighbor upstairs and you're downstairs, I recently had, in a retirement community over here, had us insulate between floors because of the neighbor downstairs smoked and all the cigarette odor was coming through between the floors and coming up his outlets and that. But I have had some clients insulate between floors. Does it help the one on the first floor? I'd say yeah. And, you know, it helps the people from keep you warmer, but it's very seldomly that we do that. But it will definitely help on sound transmission. If someone insulates their first floor ceiling, it'll help definitely from hearing the people upstairs. You know, get some thermal barrier from it, but it's really not all that common. I guess it would help a little bit.
Well, and Kevin, Marcus makes me think, too, about everyone that is renting and maybe is not in a position to, you know, maybe invest thousands of dollars in insulation, but doesn't want to have a skyrocketing energy bill. Are there any tips for renters and anyone in an apartment that they can do to make their home more insulated?
Well, our particular area, there's a bunch of credits that you can get from the government, and the local towns have money that they're giving out. So I would contact your local city and see if there's anything going on through either we got ComEd, we got the city of Naperville is giving out some funds. So I would look to see if your local town has something, then ask your owner of the property if they could get the place insulated to keep down their costs, and it would also help the value of their property when they go to sell it in the future, that it's a more efficient property.
Yeah, Yeah, we've got the Focus on Energy program here in Wisconsin. Not sure if that would work for this situation, but I'm wondering too, I know the question has come up about people using plastic on their windows. Like, does that actually have any insulating effect?
Yes, I've seen that help out a lot. There's a lot of bad windows out there. Even, to be honest with you, some of the newer construction homes that were built like the track houses in the early 2000s and the mid 2000s had very cheap, very poor quality windows installed. And I've seen a lot of clients in that stuff put plastic on them, and you see them bowing in the winter or bowing out because of the wind coming in. Yes, plastic does help. It helps on doors. It helps on windows. It does help out a lot.
Yeah. And we have an
replacement's always better.
Yeah.
But if you can't afford that, plastic is the next thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I have an email here from Chris from Port Wing. Chris says that they read that lath and plaster walls need to breathe or else you have mold issues. And Chris is wondering if an air exchange system could help with this. What do you think?
Well, we've never had a problem with lath and plaster insulating them. The thing is, you don't want to have moisture inside your walls. So if you have excessive moisture in your house, then there's an issue. You want to make sure your moisture's down. So drilling and filling plaster and lath, we've done it for years and years and years, and there's different specs and different products, either cellulose or fiberglass. We're doing dense pack. So dense pack is you're filling the cavity solid, basically like foam. So we've never had an issue in the past with either peeling paint or mold issues. The most important thing you want to do is keep the humidity down in your house. And if the humidity is coming in from leaking brick from the outside, you need to tuck point your brick and take care of it, or lower your humidifier in your house if you have an issue.
Thanks for that. And we have a call now from John in Brown Deer joining us this morning. Good morning, John. What's on your mind?
Good morning. I have a rather arcane point about the thermodynamics of airflow. It's the common belief, and it only seems to be that apparently that air is coming into the house through cracks in the window or through poor insulation around the windows. But actually, thermodynamically, warm air flows in the direction of cool air. So the warm air is migrating out of the house at those sites, and it only appears to be warm because it is being cooled within the house as it leaves through the cracks. And I read that somewhere in a thermodynamics textbook, and I just wondered if your Mr. Wise would comment on that.
That is very true. Hot air rises, cold air falls. So the most important thing to do is get rid of the chimney effect. Chimney effect would be sealing your attic, and also the lowest part of your house is your rim boxes. So if you take hot air rises, so when you light your furnace, the molecules become lighter, and they'll go through all the nooks and crevices, your light fixtures, plumbing chases, just like a hot air balloon. When you heat up a hot air balloon, they float. So basically, when you heat your house, the molecules become lighter, and all that air is going to go through all those nooks and crevices. Well, what that causes is a chimney effect that brings in all the cold air from the bottom. So if you seal your rim boxes, that's where your rafter ends are on your foundation. You spray foam those, and you seal up your attic. Even if you didn't insulate your outside walls, that would make a huge difference. Just like I stated, if you insulate your house and you make it a nice cold attic and you don't air seal, you'll end up with a moldy attic because you'll end up taking all that humid air coming from the inside the house, raising up into the attic and causing a humidity issue. That's very true.
And Kevin, we've talked about different types of insulation, the fiberglass bat and the spray foam. And I'm wondering, I've heard about various kind of new or natural or recycled materials. Do you have any experience with those?
We're doing a lot with rock wool that is a natural product that is made from basically the slags of steel mills. It's a great product. It's got a 2,000 degree burn on it, so it will not, so basically fireproofing your house. It's a great soundproofing product. We use a ton of that around airports to keep the houses quieter inside. Cellulose is a natural product. It is basically newspaper, recycled cardboard. So it is a very green product. And the same thing with rock wool. I like both products. We've not used, or our area, we don't see the denim being used here. That is the old clothes. In our area, we don't see any of that stuff being offered or marketed. But I like rock wool and I like cellulose, are great products.
And are those pretty widely available? Is that something you can find at a home, you know, improvement store? Or
a home improvement store, you can generally get the cellulose and fiberglass. You really don't see a lot of rock wool sold at those. I think Home Depot does some for walls, but nothing for blown in for attics at the local home improvement, at least not near us.
Yeah. And we've talked about different types of insulation, and I have a feeling you're going to tell me the answer depends, but I want to ask about cost, you know, for folks kind of budgeting and wanting to put aside some money to make these improvements. What's a ballpark that they should be thinking about to do a wholesale insulation upgrade for, you know, maybe an older home, you know, 100-year-old home that just doesn't have much?
So if you're talking about attic insulation, that starts about $1.35 a square foot to $1.75 a square foot. So that means it can cost you on a 1,000 square foot house anything from $1,350 to $1,750. Walls depends on if you are plaster or drywall, or if we're doing it from the outside. That starts about $1.50 a square foot. So if you have 1,000 square foot of outside walls, it'd only be about $1,500 to insulate the outside of your house. So it all depends. I mean, an average attic is usually about $1,300 to $1,700 in that range. You know, if you're looking to do air sealing your attic starts about $175 to $375. It all depends on how large your attic is and how much work we need to do.
All right. Gotcha. So we're speaking with Kevin Wise this hour. He is the president of an Illinois-based insulation company that works on both homes and businesses. You're listening to The Morning Show. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Molly Stentz. We're talking about home insulation this hour. Have you ever done a home energy audit? What did you learn? Share with us. We're at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org. Our insulation expert is Kevin Wise. He leads an Illinois-based insulation company. Now, Kevin, we were talking a little bit about cost and what you could expect to pay for attic versus wall insulation. And I'm wondering about the DIY route. We talked a little bit about that with air sealing. What about for our DIYers out there, folks that want to get the blower and try to do it themselves, what would you recommend?
Well, it all depends on your capabilities. If you're pretty handy, limber, and you understand not to lean on the drywall to fall through, I would say give it a shot. I mean, but I think you should do some research first. There's a lot of good videos on YouTube, and watch multiple of them because some of them are incorrect. And do a little research online. And again, if you're a handy person, you know, install a window and you know how to do repairs to your house, and you have a spouse that is willing to help you, or a friend willing to help fill the machine in that, I'd say give it a shot. Those machines, just want you to know, the product at the supply houses, I mean, the product at the Home Depots and that stuff are way more expensive than what we pay. And the reason why is they're getting you to purchase the product, and on the flip side, they're lending you a machine for free.
Gotcha.
So it's going to take you, our machines are about $10,000 to $15,000 to blow an attic. Those machines that they run are the $1,500, $2,000 ones and only have one motor in them compared to we have three. So those machines are going to take you, one, double the amount of time, and two, you're going to pay more money for the product. So would it cost a little more to hire a professional to do it? Yes. But if you want the satisfaction that you did it on your own, go for it.
Thanks. Well, we've got more calls coming in for you, Kevin. I want to go next to Platteville, where we have Louise with a question. Good morning.
Good morning.
What's your
question? Thank you for taking my call.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you. I have a couple of questions. I'm in a process of building a new home. I just finished the plans, and I'm getting bids from general contractors. And what I'm thinking about is, I don't know if I understand the differences between the insulations, and especially with our climate changing around here and getting more hotter and more damp, more wet. So I'm thinking that through. I'm also thinking about, I want to soundproof the bedrooms, and sort of how is soundproofing different than regular insulation? And how do I know the contractors or subcontractors are doing what they should be doing? How do I check that?
All good questions. Kevin.
One, is your house being built with 2x4 walls, the exterior, or 2x6 walls?
I'd have to look at the plans a little more closely, but I think it's 2x4.
Okay. In the Chicagoland area, they have to be, if you're 2x4, that means you'd be doing spray foam. Because in our climate, even in your climate, they have to have the minimum of R21 in the outside walls. And the only way to accomplish that is if you're using traditional insulation, you need a 6-inch cavity, or you'd be doing spray foam with a 4-inch cavity. I would not be using bat insulation, is old technology. What we do is something called BIBS, B-I-B-B-S, where we put a fabric mesh up on the walls. And under 120 PSI or high density, we blow the wall cavity solid. Where this works out is there's no nooks or crevices. The entire cavity is filled solid. So there can no longer be air leaks there can't be air leaks. So you don't have issues, especially if you have a 2x4 cavity or 2x6 cavity instead of being the standard 16-inch on center. It's a little narrower. You're not trying to force insulation to that small cavity. You're filling it solid. So I would think you should want to do the minimum of R21 bibs in the outside walls. And I would do R60 if I were in the attic. If you're going to be building a new house, I would do cellulose in the attic, R60. That's about 18 and a half, 20 inches. And I would do solid filled walls. And that would keep your house considerably warmer in the winter and cooler in the summer. For your interior walls, I would do rock wool bat or rock wool bibs. And that's a very important thing to do. It'll make the wall sound more solid. If you knock on them, you won't hear an echo. And two, you will not be hearing conversations room to room.
That's the material you were talking about that people are often using for soundproofing, that rock wool.
Correct. Even if you don't, rock wool is a little bit more expensive. If you want to go a little cheaper, you can do cellulose on the inside walls. You basically take that fiberglass mesh and you blow cellulose in the inside walls. And one thing, never forget, if you're building a two-story house and you have that big, beautiful master bedroom over the kitchen, you don't want to have that party over and someone flushes the toilet or is taking a shower and everyone downstairs in the kitchen is hearing that going on in the master. So plumbing, definitely think of insulating your plumbing so you don't hear the toilets flush. You don't hear people taking showers and running water upstairs.
Good point.
That's something that a lot of people forget. And that's something that is very important. You know, the first week you're living there and you're hearing someone taking a shower upstairs and you have 9-foot ceilings and it's an open plan house, well, you can hear someone flush the toilet or take showers throughout the entire house. So soundproofing is very important. And in reality, on a 4-bedroom house, it'll probably cost you $1,000 to $2,000 max to insulate all the bedroom walls. And it's something for the life of the house, not only for fire protection, it'll keep it from spreading throughout the house, but even for sound, it's way better, especially if you have a kid playing music and stuff like that.
Sure, sure. Well, I hope that helps, Louise. Well, Kevin, I want to ask you before we run out of time about asbestos and how often you see that in older homes anymore.
We see that a lot. We do not remove it. I do refer a company, but asbestos is you see a lot. If you have insulation in your attic that looks like popcorn or little, little nuggets, 9 times out of 10, that's vermiculite and that's got asbestos in it. Or you can have siding that looks like it's possibly cedar, real thin siding, and that is called transite. That's got asbestos in it. So if we come to your house to do a drill and fill from the outside, if it's got transite, we can't do it because it's asbestos. Or in your attic, I see pipes wrapped with it, ductwork, or, you know, that your insulation is vermiculite.
And that's because you need a company that really has that kind of hazmat expertise to deal with it and really secure it properly?
Correct. There's certain laws on different dumpsters that need to be purchased, certain colored bags that needs to be put in. It's got to be buried, brought to a dump site, and it's got to be put in a special area. It all depends on what kind of asbestos it is and how it needs to be. Most of the times it's got to be dampened down with water and removed in a certain way. The guys have to be wearing suits, certain filtration systems. And it depends on what kind you have. It's really an art form on how to get rid of it. And, you know, where is it at in the walls or in your attic and all that.
Yeah. Well, and how far ahead should people be thinking about if they're looking at hiring a contractor to do a home insulation project?
A good insulation contractor that's been around for years or a few years should be out booked about 2 to 3 weeks out.
Gotcha.
So we have a huge referral base. So if you're looking to get it done in September, you should be booking now. You should be contacting companies to come on out, take a look at that. And if someone says, oh, I don't have any business or I can come there tomorrow, you might want to go on the Better Business Bureau. You might want to go out through Angie's List and all that and find out how their background is and how many, are they a 4-star or a 1-star? So, or if they opened up yesterday, then make sure you get a copy of their insurance and some work that they've done for other people.
A very good point. Well, that brings us to the end of our hour. Kevin, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you very much. Call me anytime.
Thanks. We've been speaking with Kevin Wise, president of Illinois Insulators. The company offers insulation services for commercial and residential properties throughout Chicagoland area. Tune in this time next week for another Home Improvement Hour. For more tips, you can go online at WPR.org/contractor. I'm Molly Stentz, and this is The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.